Good evening. It's a real pleasure to welcome you here to Global Corporation House and to tonight's talk, The Magic of Meditation, Making the Impossible Possible with Sister Jayanti. My name is Mino, and I will be your MC for this evening. And should you need the bathrooms or any water, then you'll find that at the back of the room. And if you need anything else, if you require any other assistance, then the ushers are there to guide you. And you can notice them in their purple sashes. For the safety of everyone, in the case of a fire alarm sounding, you will be required to immediately evacuate the building, and the ushers will guide us to our nearest exits. And could I finally request everyone to take out their favorite gadget and put it on silent, or turn it off, better yet, and maybe we can enjoy an evening without our mobile phones. We don't want to be that person getting caught, particularly not this evening. And finally, we will be, you may have noticed as you were coming in, we will be filming this evening's talk. And although we'll primarily focus on what's happening on the stage, we may capture the backs of your heads. And also in the first five or six rows, we may also capture the fronts of your heads. And if you have any concerns about that, that's absolutely fine. Please do just raise your hand or speak to one of the ushers, particularly if you're in the front five or six rows, and they can reseat you. So that's all the important stuff out of the way. And out of interest, can I ask who is here in this building for the first time, just by a way of hands? Wow, so a really, really warm and special welcome to you, and an equally warm welcome to everyone else. And I'd also like to welcome Mr. Tripathi and Mr. Kota from the High Commission of India, and Mr. Virendra Sharma, and also the Deputy Mayor of Elstree and Borehamwood, Councillor Tushar Kumar. So this building that we're sat in today, this evening, is Global Corporation House, as I mentioned, and it's one of the 7,000-plus centres across the world that's run by the Brahma Kumaris, World Spiritual University. And we're very delighted to share with you a short film that introduces the Brahma Kumaris in the UK, who are a community of meditators that are dedicated to inner peace, personal transformation, and building a better world from within. So here's a little short video to explain what we do.
The British Isles, a land of ancient kingdoms united as one, where religious, spiritual, and mystical traditions have woven a multicolored tapestry that tells a story of faith, devotion, and reflective inquiry. For over 50 years, a new voice has been offering insights into the eternal wisdom of India. Raja Yoga Meditation, interpreted for modern times. Uniting the soul and the supreme soul. Bringing communities together. Serving society through collective meditation. Through talks, workshops, seminars and conferences that restore inner harmony so needed in these complex and delicate times. Throughout the UK, you'll find centres offering courses that are open to anyone, from any religious or cultural background or any walk of life. You'll find collaboration with partnership organisations, working together to make a difference. You'll find city centre sanctuaries, known as inner space, an oasis of calm, a refuge from the hustle and bustle of modern life. You'll find meditation centres, offering daily classes in knowing yourself, becoming a better you, discovering your soul purpose and your unique contribution towards making the world a better place for all. You'll find retreat centres where participants can take a sideways step from their everyday lives and immerse themselves in a deep peace that heals and uplifts the soul. The organization that holds all this together is the Brahma Kumaris, affiliated to the United Nations as a non-governmental organization. It's the largest spiritual organization in the world for men and women to be led by women. With a network of teaching centers serving individuals and communities in over 120 countries right around the globe. Run entirely by volunteers, supporting thousands of people of all ages, helping them to find fulfillment on their spiritual journey, to find a place of stillness within, to find a place of inner strength and hope. With an intention to serve, these gifts of peace are shared free of charge, offered with love, given from the heart. Find your next step. Find your everyday calm. Find your inner light. The Brahma Kumaris. Meditation made easy.
Now, we're really and truly are in for a remarkable evening. In a world like ours, meditation perhaps is one of humankind's most valuable tools. Would you agree? Maybe we've all had different experiences of meditations, all kinds of different meditations, and we've seen the impact. I feel it's a practice that enables the ordinary in us to see the extraordinary. And there's no doubt that our world needs some real change. And I think for many, it can seem difficult to see the impact of meditation on our society. Perhaps it's not so obvious, but it's really obvious. It's almost not impossible to see the impact it's having on individuals and on their lives, on their families, on their friends, on their communities. And if I may share a little story of my own, about 2 or 3 years ago, I was in a workshop setting and the question was posed to me, how would I respond to myself if I was suffering? And my answer was, you should know better. And maybe even a helpless, I don't know what to do. And, you know, perhaps not the most compassionate approach. But when I was asked the same question again earlier this year, my response was almost 100% more caring and more loving and more respectful. And it, for me, it was almost like I had done no work in 2 or 3 years, and it was almost like magic. Something had changed within me. And I really felt from my heart, and honestly speaking, that something had shifted. And just that moment of realization I had earlier this year was really profound for me. And maybe we've all had experiences like that for ourselves, where we've recognized something has changed within us over a period of time, perhaps through force of circumstance or relationship changing, or even our health conditions, where we're forced into some level of change. But for me, I really felt that my meditation practice had a big part to play in that change of relationship with myself. And so perhaps we never connect the idea of magic meditation. Has anyone ever thought of that before? Meditation as a magic? Maybe you have. That'll be interesting to hear. And so this evening, Sister Jayanti, who has been focusing on her meditation journey for over 60 years, will share her deep insights with us. So other than being a and a senior teacher, Sister Jayanti also plays the role of the additional administrative head of the Brahma Kumaris. Her personal commitment to her spiritual practice really is the foundation of her wisdom, her warmth, and her clarity. And she brings the message of inner peace, hope, and personal empowerment to individuals, families, and to international forums with thought leaders globally. So I'm pretty sure and certain that you will leave here today with something that touches your heart and enables a shift within you. So without any more from me, I'd like to invite Sister Jyanti up onto the stage. Yes, please, a round of applause. So just one final thing for me is, at the end of this evening's program, we will have a good amount of time for questions for Sister Jyanti from you. So if something does come up, then please do make a note of it on your phones or on a piece of paper if you have that, and you can ask it at the end. So thank you.
Om Shanti. A warm greeting of peace to all my sisters and my brothers, and a special welcome to our special guests who are here today. It's beautiful to see how people respond to the word meditation now. Some years ago, people didn't understand meditation at all, and it was like a foreign word, a strange language. But over the years, it's been lovely to see how more and more people are interested in the subject, but also recognize its value for the self and are willing to give time and space to be able to experience this. And yes, the Raj Yoga meditation is perhaps one of the easiest that's around. And as you know, it's a big marketplace with many, many different types of meditation available. But this one, very simple, very easy. So easy that we can actually call it karma yoga. While you're in action, in motion, doing all the things you need to do, you can still experience meditation and that connection. I'll just explain these words to begin with. Raj yoga. Yoga, communion, connection, communication. It's the connection of the soul with the divine. And so it's very specific in that way. But the easy thing about Raj Yoga is that, and Raja, the sovereign, the master, the yoga with which you're able to claim sovereignty, self-mastery. And maybe the other question that's most frequently asked about meditation is the fact that, well, are we supposed to stop all our thoughts? Who thinks meditation means stopping all thoughts? Oh, no one. Well, we're well on our way. Because it's correct, meditation doesn't mean stopping all thoughts. Meditation means turning the direction of my thinking onto a different level. What is it that I spend most time thinking about? It's everything to do with the mundane world, people and things and activity and all the things that are connected with us here. But in meditation, I make a very conscious decision that for a little while, maybe just for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe longer, I'm not going to let my mind go here and there and everywhere on this level. I'm going to let my thoughts go inwards. I'm going to go on an inner journey. I'm going to use the power of my thought, my thinking process, to rediscover who I truly am. Strange question. Who am I? Because of course I know who I am. I don't need my passport or my identity card to tell you who I am. It's with me all the time and I can share it in an instant. But who am I truly? I was in a workshop a long time ago and we were asked the question, who am I? But not just once, Just talk to yourself. How am I? See what the response is. See if there's another layer to it. And another one. And another one. And another one. And just keep going as deeply as you can. I know it's interesting, but there's another way to approach it. I can share a few thoughts and ask you to experiment with those ideas and see what happens, see where it takes you. And then you can decide whether it's something useful for you or not. Think about that inner being, which is the being that thinks and feels and understands and is able to have memory, is able to have a personality, all the things that are intangible. But all these intangible things, actually put them all together, and it's the energy of that inner being, and this is what makes each and every one of us totally unique. Externally, there can be many, many like you and me. But internally, in this inner world of mine, I am unique. There's no other person like me. And yet, on the other side, we're all the same. Why? Yes, we're human. Yes, we're beings. But as I go into the awareness of the being that I am, then I can understand how all the energy that I am is actually here. Yes, this is functioning in the way that it should most of the time. Sometimes it doesn't, and then you need help. But most of the time it does pretty well. But the energy that's making everything else function is this tiny, tiny point of energy, luminous energy, that lives here, right in front of the brain. Let's experiment with this idea. I'm not offering any signs of proof or anything, but I'd like you to experiment with this and experience it. Sit comfortably, both feet on the ground, and the body straight and back upright. And I'll speak a few thoughts as I reflect and invite you to follow these ideas. Going on that inner journey, I visualize the inner being that I am. A spark of energy, the light that shines. And I go deep within myself, going deeper and deeper. And I watch my thoughts. And simply watching my thoughts slows down the speed. There are thoughts, but not coming fast and furious, just trickling. And I select one thought, the thought of peace. I hold this thought and begin to feel it. It feels comfortable, natural, and I realize that peace is not out there. Peace is within. I am a being of peace. I hold this awareness and I feel the power of peace restoring harmony and health to my entire system. I also feel the energy of peace radiating out into this room and the collective power of peace reaches out there beyond these walls out into the city and into the world. Thank you. Do our thoughts make a difference? I think there's a lot of evidence that they do. Thoughts make a difference to how I feel. Thoughts make a difference to what happens to my physical body. Thoughts make a difference to what I share in the atmosphere. And thoughts make a difference to not only my life, but also the lives of those around me. But beyond that, thoughts lead to collective actions that can make a difference to the world. And so every time I have a thought of peace, it's a beautiful contribution towards creating a better world. And every time I have a thought of violence, the Charter of UNESCO in the preamble states that wars begin in the minds of people, but the defenses of peace lie therein also. And so I can choose. Do I want to pick up sticks and stones and throw them at someone? Or do I want to create an inner state of peace and share that peace with others around me? It works. If I choose to be peaceful, there'll be a ripple effect of that moving out. And the interesting thing is that although we live in dark times, yet somehow deep in our hearts we know that there's goodness in every human being. And therefore, goodness is definitely going to conquer the negativity. And there will be better days ahead. There will be a better world ahead. And each one of us can contribute through our own transformation to creating a world of peace. We've created the world as it is today, right? Yes? So who's going to create the world of tomorrow? It's all of us. And yes, we can take help from above, and that help is essential. But together, truly, we can create a world of peace and harmony once again. So firstly, it's a question of knowing what there is within this inner being that I am. And as I go inside deeper and deeper, I realize that below the turbulence on the surface, deep down within the being that I am, not only is there peace, but peace opens the door to many, many other treasures. Where will I find love? Anything out there is going to be limited and conditional and will demand a return. But when I go deep inside myself, I'll find the love that's there inherent within the soul, How many of you knew Dadi Janaki? Some. When Dadi first came to England and she said, we have to learn to love ourselves, people asked many, many questions about that. Isn't that ego? Isn't that selfish? And she would explain that however you treat yourself is how you will treat others also. And so if you can love yourself, you're going to be able to love others too. And the next question would be, well, I've made so many mistakes in my life. There are so many things that I wish I hadn't done. How can I love myself? And she'd say, well, the one above can forgive you, but the question is, can you forgive yourself? And when you can forgive yourself, and when you go deep within, you'll discover the beauty and the goodness of the inner being. And when I experiment with this, I discover that the core values of human civilization, where are they? They're not in an institution. People come, people go, institutions change. So where are the values? They lie in the human beings. But in the human being, where are the values? My hands, my feet, my toes? They lie in the soul, the inner being, the being that I am. And of course, what's happened is that because I don't know myself, I don't go on that journey inside, I've lost contact with the inner core values. And so the values have disappeared, not just from my life, but they're about to disappear from society, civilization. And what happens when values disappear from a civilization? The civilization crumbles. It goes into non-existence. That's the point that the world is at the moment. But it's actually a transition. It's not going to go into non-existence. There'll be another phase. And we're all part of that journey. From the period of darkness, we're moving into an era of light. And there's many, many signs that one sees about this. Many people recognizing that inner change is important, recognizing that meditation must have a place in their timetable, recognizing that spirituality is something they have to explore. Vegetarian diet, it was never part of the fabric of life, and today it is. Holistic approaches to health, holistic approaches to architecture, you name it, and you see the quiet, silent, positive changes that are uplifting this world of ours. And the fact that this auditorium is full tonight, Sunday evenings, there's many things you could do, many choices that you have, especially in London. But you chose to be here. So it's an indication of that positive energy, which is the ascending energy. And so it's a time of transition. When there's transition from hot to cold or cold to heat, there's always upheaval. And so we see a lot of upheaval around us. But it's a movement forward. It's a movement towards a better world, a movement towards the day, a movement towards goodness coming back in our world. We saw a glimpse of that during COVID times. We saw compassion coming up in a big, big surge. But the only trouble with that was that people got exhausted. They had burnout. All the frontline people, especially the medical teams everywhere, They were on their feet 72 hours at a time, and they couldn't manage anymore. And so the compassion came into a state of deficit. They ran out of that energy. So what we want to do is, yes, have compassion, have kindness, have love, but to be able to have it in abundance, so that it's there for me all the time, but it's also possible to share it with others, and that happens through the magic of meditation. Is it possible to have such an abundance of peace, of love, of joy, that it never runs dry, that you never get to a state of burnout? It is through the connection with the source. So the first step is the connection with myself. But the second step is the connection with the source. So the connection with the self, we had a little bit of an experiment with that. Using the power of the mind to explore what the soul is, to know what are the qualities of the soul. And the second step, using my mind, using the power of thoughts to connect with the Supreme. Just as you and I are connected now through our thoughts. If your mind was with television, what the program is, if your mind was with what's for dinner, well, we wouldn't have this atmosphere here. But all of you are focused, and the connection is secondary through words, but primarily through the thoughts. Our thoughts are together, moving in the same direction. So the connection with the source is very simple, through the power of thoughts, which is why Raja Yoga is so different to many other types of meditation, and is very natural and easy. Today you're sitting here comfortably, but in an hour or two you'll be walking. And as you walk, you can still keep the awareness of the self and the connection with the self and the connection with the divine. Not difficult. Your feet will do the walking, your mind will do the thinking, and through your thoughts you'll connect. There's a lovely expression in the scripture of India, the Gita, Man Mana Bhav. Stabilize your mind in my awareness. That's it. Using the mind, not stopping the mind, not trying to silence it, but just using its energy in the right direction. In India, there's a very ancient idea in which there's the analogy of the horse for the mind. The horse running wild, and it's racing and racing, and it's using all its energy but getting nowhere. Do you feel like that sometimes? You've spent an hour and you actually haven't done anything, but your mind has been racing. The past, all the things that have happened, the fears for the future, and meanwhile, the opportunities of the present moment are running away. They're being lost. And so, how do you tame this wild horse? Not difficult. A horse trainer from Australia who is visiting here, and he'd started to practice meditation. He and his wife had come together. And so they asked me, do you know how to tame horses? I say, no way. I don't know. And they said, all you have to do is whisper sweet nothings into the horse's ear, and it'll stand and listen to you. And once it started listening to you, you make friends with the horse. And then the horse will go in the direction you want it to go. Same principle for the mind. Don't tell your mind stop. Don't tell your mind you're crazy. No, talk to it gently, guide it in the right direction, and the mind will start listening to you. So who's you if you are talking to the mind, you are that inner being, the soul, the point of light here. And in this awareness, not in the awareness of this, but in the awareness of this, I, the soul, can talk to my mind gently with love and start exploring what's going on inside my own inner world. And I discovered that, yes, I hold the values within myself. And when I forget this, my life loses value. And when I rediscover this, my life becomes valuable once more. And so, when I see my own value, I appreciate it, I learn to respect myself, I learn to love myself, and that's when self-love can happen. But also there's another dimension which is even more beautiful, and that is to know that we're the creation of the one creator. And if I want to go into the subject of relationships with the divine, India offers the concept of mother and father. God is the mother and father, and you can have unconditional love from the mother. You can have the courage and the power and the joy of inheritance of the property of happiness from the father. And so just simply to remember, I am the creation of the divine. I am a child of that Supreme One. And to know that that one parent is the parent of the whole of humanity. All are the creation of the one creator. And so with that vision of the world as my family, many, many things change within my consciousness. But first and foremost, the story of Daddy teaching us about loving the self. Yes, I begin to value myself. I begin to love myself. Not with any ego or selfishness, but knowing that I am the child of that one, and we have been created in that one's image. Do you feel like it? Not always. But you can remind yourself. So first thing, when you go to the bathroom to brush your teeth, look in the mirror, see yourself here, and remind yourself, I am the creation of that Supreme Creator. I carry all those qualities of the divine within myself. Remind yourself not just every day in the morning, but experiment with that idea many times during the day. People ask, what are the practical tools for meditation? We'll have another meditation in just a minute, but a very simple tool that we use here in this house and at all our centers all over the world, but also in many homes and offices across the world. Every hour, on the hour, get a signal from your watch or your device, or play some music through the house. Set it on a timer. There's many ways to do it now with technology. And just for a minute, just go on that inner journey again, just for a minute, and remind yourself of who you are. And you'll again connect with your own highest values. And having had that reminder for 1 minute, the next 59 minutes are going to be a little bit different. Because when you start moving in a particular track, it's very difficult to pull the mind back. When, especially if the track is a negative one, it really goes off into a spin. And the train has left the station and difficult to stop it. But if I have this discipline of regularly, maybe you don't have a device that can give you a signal, or you don't want to do that. You give yourself water. How often? A few times a day? Many times a day? Every time you take a glass of water, or even just a sip of water, hydrate the soul. Just take that moment of hydration for the body to also remind yourself to come back to remembering you are a being of peace, you are a being of love, of light. And definitely there's going to be a change in your attitude, your perception, your vision, your activity, your behavior, and it's going to impact everything around you. So it's simple, but I just need to do it. It's like water. How often have people told you, you must drink a lot of water? And how often have you listened to them? Or maybe you listen to them for a day or two and then you forget again. It's simple. It's one of the basic things for health, but we forget. And so basic thing for higher consciousness is just to remember who I am. But this has got so ingrained into the soul that even in my dreams, I see this as myself rather than this as myself. And so with conscious effort, we can change this, because this has been with us from before we were born. And so my connection of consciousness and this is totally, absolutely intertwined. But can I change this? I am the master of this, and I have a loving, sweet relationship with this because it serves me well. It's invaluable, precious, but I am the master of what I see and how I see, of what I eat or I don't, what I hear or I don't. So attain that mastery over the self, and then try the mastery over the inner faculties. Can I be selective about the thoughts that come to me? And those thoughts are coming to me from out there. I see, I hear, I feel, and there's an immediate response. And maybe it's not actually a response, it's just a reaction. We're creatures of reactivity rather than creatures of reason. We thought we were creatures of reason. But actually what happens is feelings and emotions take over and there's a reaction. And that happens more than we would like it to happen. And so can I come back to the awareness of actually being in charge of what's coming up in my mind? Can I know myself so well that I know the direction I want my mind to take and the direction I don't want it to take? How well do I know myself? The more time I spend with myself, the more likely it is I'm going to get to know myself. If I refuse to spend time with myself, well, I'll always be a stranger to myself, and then I'll say, well, I didn't mean that. I wasn't actually going to do that. I wasn't supposed to say that. It just happened. So who made it happen? Who's pulling the strings? Circumstances? Am I a puppet of circumstances? Well, most times that's the state of humanity. Can I reverse all of that and come back to a state of mastery. I can, but I need power from the source. Let's experiment with this idea of receiving power from above. Again, just sitting comfortably. I come to the awareness of the inner being, the light that shines. And in this awareness, I sense the presence of the divine. The source, the being of light, who has unlimited peace, infinite love, absolute truth, and an abundance of happiness. And in this presence, I feel myself absorbing all the rays from the divine. And this stimulates the awareness of the treasures that lie within. Peace from the source reminds me that I carry peace within myself. The love, which is unconditional, touches the core of my being to release the love that lies within. This is the magic of this connection. The highest potential within my own being is released. I truly am the creation of the Supreme Creator. Holding this awareness, I come back to the moment here and now, to the physical dimension. But I keep this awareness of who I am and the presence of the divine. Thank you. In practical terms, in life, whatever is going on is inside is expressed outside. On the external level, here's a person who seems to have everything going their way, but yet there's a discontent. And the discontent then leads to anger sometimes, frustration sometimes. The discontent can even move into despair, into confusion, and worse things than that. And here's another person who seems to have very little externally, but yet they have contentment inside. And with that contentment, they're able to remain calm and positive and be a powerful force that can serve and help others. So whatever exists externally is out there. But if I have learned to respect myself and love myself, then how do I treat others around me? It's going to be with that same quality. Respecting others, respecting their values, and also appreciating them, and maybe even coming to love them. But without that inner state first, it's impossible to come through into action with others, with anything else. And so we're worried a lot about relationships today, because they seem to be fraught with many difficulties. And the way to be able to resolve the difficulties outside is to be able to sort things out inside. And if I can sort things out inside, then whatever relationship it may be, parent, child, teacher, student, partner, whatever it is, the quality of relationship will change even if one of the two changes. It doesn't have to be change in both. One changes and the other is going to be influenced by that. If both change together, wonderful, even better. But it doesn't always work like that. But certainly if even one changes, that can bring about a total change in terms of the interaction that happens. And again, it begins with thoughts. It's not just what I say. Maybe what I'm saying is polite, but the gut feeling you're getting is something else. Vibrations reach others. They say even the walls pick up vibrations, and it's true. You walk into this house and you feel that sense of peace. You go to a cinema hall, what will you feel there? Something quite different. So whatever is going on within a place, the walls absorb that. But equally, human beings absorb vibrations from each other. Your pets absorb your vibrations. You've seen pets respond to you. They'll respond to your anger, they'll respond to your love, they'll respond to your care, whatever it is you're emitting. And so a relationship means a give and a take and an exchange. Vibrations, thoughts, feelings, words, actions, and all of this is what we then call karma. Karma simply means action. Nothing good, nothing bad, just action. But the quality of my thoughts and everything else will then determine whether that relationship is a good one or not so good. And if I want to change it, can I change the quality of my thinking? And then the relationship can become much smoother, much easier to navigate. And it's not just the relationship of one with the other. There's another magic ingredient that we can bring into the picture. If I'm connected with the one above, then the quality of that influence is going to impact the horizontal relationship also. If it's just me and you, it's just our karma. But if I can bring in the awareness of the presence of the divine between the two of us, magic happens, and there's a very different quality that enters the picture. Then truly, where relationship should be, ones in which there's an exchange of joy and happiness and love, it becomes that. Today, very often it's not the case. Whichever relationship, even friends. But bring in the awareness of the divine, and there's no karmic bondage that's created. It becomes one of just a sweet exchange and a sweet relationship. And so next time, when you look at somebody, don't just see them in the physical form. See them as that shining star. Everyone, not just your husband or wife or your son and daughter, etc., but whoever you see them just as that shining star, and especially when you see those you're close to. Because with close connection, so often, instead of pure love, unconditional love, it becomes attachment, possessiveness, and control. And so there's a deterioration, and you don't even realize why. You think there's only love, but it's not. It's control issues, it's possessiveness. So bringing in the divine into any relationship changes the quality. But also, again, that reminder that all of us have an eternal connection with each other, which has nothing to do with karmic, transactional give and take. It's really, truly, as the children of the one parent, the children of God. Believe me, if we were to practice this one consciousness of I, the soul, seeing you as the soul, and the awareness of the one parent, I reckon 99.9% of the problems of today's world would be resolved. I believe this truly. And I know that bringing the power of the divine into any relationship changes it, but also bringing the power of the divine into our lives means we move the world from its current state of darkness to the world of light that we would all like to live in. And I think it's not far away. I think we're very close to that point of reaching critical mass where things can turn around. Let me stop here and see if there are questions or comments that you would like to share.
So we have a microphone down here at the bottom, so if you would like to ask a question, there's already one hand up just at the front, then please raise your hand and Julie will come and find you.
Great. Thank you, Sister Janti, for that introduction into relationships. And could you elaborate further on relationships? Because, you know, the quality of one's life is dependent on relationships, and including, first of all, our own relationship to ourselves. And many of us have difficult relationships with the closest people around us. They may have wronged us, they may have betrayed us, they may have cheated us, said harsh words to us. How do we learn to forgive? And when we forgive, what does that mean for what happened? Because often it's hard to forgive because we think that we are letting the other person off the hook. And so therefore we stay stuck. Would you be able to elaborate more on how we can really free ourselves and enjoy life the way it's meant to be?
When I try to give to another, it's always going to be limited. And at some point, I'm going to run out of patience, I'm going to run out of tolerance, I'm going to run out of all the goodness and say, enough is enough, no more. But if I'm connecting with the divine, and I see the divine between you and me, then I'm drawing on that inexhaustible source. And so I don't run out of patience. I don't run out of tolerance. And I'm self-sufficient. there's nothing I want from you. And so that makes me not dependent on you. It's much, much easier to give. If I'm dependent on you for anything, there's always going to be a sense of bondage. But in this case, where all my needs are being fulfilled from the One, then I can simply share something. And the case of forgiveness is a very big subject. And if I think about forgiveness, not as something that I'm doing for you, but something I'm doing for myself, because in forgiveness, I'm liberating myself from prison. Nelson Mandela has written about how when he was released on Robben Island, he left one set of gates, and there was a walk to the next set of gates before he could move into freedom. And as the doors shut behind the first set of gates and he was moving towards the second, he said to himself, and I'm paraphrasing, unless I forgive, my mind is always going to be inside a prison of bitterness and anger. I have to let go and be able to forgive so that I can become free. And when he reached the second set of gates, he walked out a free person, and the rest is history. And so for me also, if I lack forgiveness, I'm keeping myself in bondage. I'm holding myself in that state of bitterness. A person asked Daddy, and forgive me if I'm quoting Daddy too much, but she was not only my spiritual mother, but also my mentor and friend for most of my life. And so I learned so much, so much from her. And she was speaking to somebody, and she said to them, are there people you haven't forgiven? And he said, Daddy, I've forgiven most people, but there are three that I can't forgive. And Daddy said, that's three too many. The next year, he used to meet Daddy at that time just about once a year in Abu. Not so frequently, he lives in another country. And then he said, this next year, I've been able to let go and forgive too, but there's one I can never forgive. And Daddy said, if I were to give you a glass of water and tell you, there's only one tiny drop of poison in here, just one drop, would you drink it? And he understood. And he went back home and he sorted out his affairs with his former wife. It was his former wife. You can understand the stories that were there. And he came back the next year and said, Daddy, I let go and I've forgiven. And now I can look at her and not feel any anger. And so forgiveness is something that I have to make a positive effort for, to be able to let go. If I can let go, then not only do I find freedom for myself, but I'm also giving freedom and space to the other. And if there's someone who continually creates the same problem, I forgive and I think I've forgiven, but the same issue keeps coming up many times, then there's another way, and that is to recognize that I cannot be responsible for their mistakes, and it's not even something which is in my right to forgive or not to forgive. I'm going to let it be that their relationship with the Creator is able to help them understand, and I'm not going to allow my thoughts and my feelings to go in that direction, because I'm creating more karmic bondage that way. I'm going to put a full stop and know that the One above is in charge and they're responsible to that one, not to me. but also just remembering how often I have been forgiven, not just by God, but by others around me. And so can I allow God's love to open my heart so that I have the grace to be able to forgive. So I think it's a very big subject and a very important one on the spiritual journey.
Any more questions? Yeah? Just a bit further up and then we can come back down.
Om Shanti. I just want to ask how to live your normal life with, you want to do meditation, then you got family to look after, and then you have to work to do. So how to juggle? Because there is a moment where everyone is stressing you from everywhere, and then you think, okay, where am I? Who am I? And why am I? So how to, overcome this situation?
I think if you start your day giving attention to yourself and drawing from God all the things that you need for yourself within, and maybe you don't even know that you need of them, but the power that God gives is the power of love, the power of peace, the power of tolerance, the power of compassion, so many different aspects to that power. So, but every single day, if I make it part of my life, my discipline, getting up earlier than the family and having that time for myself, for silence, but also some time for spiritual study. Because just as this needs nourishment, this needs good food. And the rest of the day, you're unlikely to get nourishing food. It's more likely to be negative stuff. But if I can feed my mind something powerful and positive early in the morning, then it's like putting the compass straight, and then through the day it will guide me. And so first step is my responsibility to myself. And if I don't fulfill that, I'm not going to be able to fulfill responsibility to anyone else. We usually do things topsy-turvy. And so you say, what about this? What about this? What about everything? But no, first, it has to be my responsibility for me. Second is my responsibility to others around me, to people. And the third is the output, the work. And as you see, sometimes we turn the pyramid the other way. So we put output, results, all of that first. Relationships suffer. And we put ourselves at the bottom of the heap. But turn it around. First priority is feeding my mind, nourishing the soul. Second is relationships around me. And if I can value those and work in a way that's beneficial for everyone, then the work is going to happen very easily and naturally. If I haven't put value on relationships, then when it comes to the work, I'm left on my own, trying to manage things, and it's difficult. But if I've valued relationships, then there'll be a lot of support, a lot of cooperation, and help is available. So just keep that step by step. Priorities, put them in the way that they're meant to be.
We'll start with here.
Am I allowed to stand? I think I have to stand for this. The reason I'm standing is because I want to demonstrate something. Imagine I'm at this end. At the end of the stage, there's somebody sitting in a wheelchair. And the reason I remember this is because what Sister Jenti said, speak to the horse kindly, lovingly, and he will understand. You reminded me about the time I spoke to that butterfly in Mount Abu. The story goes very simply. A lady with two young children and a husband from Iran go to the Swiss Alps to do downhill sliding. Within 1 or 2 minutes of doing that, Golu, this lady, young lady, 34, 35, developed the most excruciating headache. The headache was so strong that she was screaming. And everyone around on the ski slope thought she had seen something terrible outside. But it wasn't. Eventually, they take her to Geneva Hospital and they say, oh, we can't do anything for you. Go to the Marsden Hospital in London. I'm about to go myself from this classroom to Mount Abu, and there's Daddy saying, you have to go and see this person at the Marsden Hospital. And I said, Daddy, I haven't got the time. I have to go and do so many other things. And if I go to the Marsden, I will have to talk to 10 people whom I know, and I just can't do that. Can you ask Golu to come somewhere in Knightsbridge where they were staying? Well, they did send her in a wheelchair at the Marsden, gave her a walking stick and said, don't get out of this wheelchair, otherwise you will fall and injure yourself. When I saw her at that distance, she was sitting in the wheelchair with a walking stick. And I said to her, why are you doing that? Oh, the doctors told me to do that. I said, throw the walking stick away, get up and come and walk towards me. Hesitatingly, she looked at me, very powerful remembrance and connection, like Sister Jayanti said. I connected up above, and Golu walked slowly towards me. Halfway through, she started smiling. She's supposed to have violent headache. She started smiling. When she reached me, I said, turn around and go back. And this time, remember that you have somebody up there who's looking after you. She went there. She started laughing at the end. I said, what's happened? She said, my headache is gone. I said, that's brilliant. Now I can go to Mount Abu. I left her. I went to Mount Abu. And I went to Baba's room. 10 minutes. I said, Baba, you have someone in London to look after. 10 minutes, I came out. Behind me, Daddy Lachu comes and says, here, this is for you. I said, how did you get it? Oh, Baba had given it to her in the meditation room. I hadn't seen any butterflies. That butterfly came and sat in my hand and climbed slowly all the way to my bed. I said, this is unusual. Never seen this happen before. I put it back in the hand, and she did that again. 4 times. I gave it to somebody else, flew back to me. I put it on a bush, came back to me. So I said, this is a very strange butterfly. So I talked to the butterfly. I said, I know what you want. You want to come to London with me. In a second, she took off. And as far as the eye could see, I could see rising up there in the horizon all the way until the butterfly disappeared. A week later, Sister Jayanti and I, you will recall, we go to this hospice where Golu is sitting on a bed, jumping, laughing. I said, Golu, what's the matter with you? What about the headache? Oh, no headache. So I said, why are you jumping? I'm jumping with joy. Did you see it? I didn't say what. Oh, the sky was full of butterflies. All colors. All shapes. Such a sky was full of butterflies. Now, this is real. She saw the butterflies. I said, I will prove that I saw the butterflies. She went under her pillow and pulled out an album. It was full of butterfly paintings she had been drawing since childhood. She was a painter of airbrush painting butterflies. And the first butterfly in the album was the one that took off from London. This is a real story. It is real magic. There are 4 ends on the screen. You can add the 5th one. Mother. It's not much, none. You add mother and you've got the connection. I hope you talk to butterflies. They have ears. They have perception. This is real. Horses respond instantly. Butterflies take time until they're gone round.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We have time for a few more questions. There were a couple of hands just up here somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, please go. Please go. Yeah. There's many questions.
Jentipen, hi. So I was really touched in a sad way when you responded to this lady's question and you said something like, the world out there is like this, like negatively. And what touched me is, it's not just one person. We say the world, it's like that, and it really is. It's not really, it doesn't speak very positively for human beings and humankind. That really touched me. I hope you kind of can remember that reference, or somebody can be more clear with the actual words you used. But the point I want to make is, as us as human beings, humankind, humanity, what have we done? What are we doing? And I know that meditation helps, of course. But how have we let it get to this point, this tipping point, and we could just drop off the cliff, and we're still wondering, okay, should we not? What's stopping us from really being a force for good, for being the light that we all have the infinite potential to be?
I'll share a story. And I was 19, and I just told Brahma Baba, the founder, we were in Mount Abu, and I just told him that this is a life I want to lead, one of service. And by chance, it was just the two of us. And he asked me a question. And the question was, do you think it's possible for everyone to be happy? And he was 93 at that time, and I was 19, so I waited. I didn't have an answer for him. And he said, yes, it is possible. Then he said, is it possible for everyone to have enough to eat? He again said, yes, it's possible. Then he said, is it possible for everyone to be healthy? He said, yes, it is possible. But it's only possible if we get rid of lust, ego, anger, greed, and attachment. If we get rid of these diseases, then yes, the world can be one in which everyone is happy, everyone is healthy, everyone has enough. But you can't tell people to do that. You have to do it yourself and have the hope that others will be inspired to do the same. And so I know that that is the reality. And when I say it's a dark world, I believe that it's because of these negative energies. But I also have total, not just hope for the future, but certainty for the future, that the goodness of humanity is beginning to emerge, and the power of the Lord, the power of the Supreme, is such that things will turn around and that goodness will win. There will be victory for truth, and we'll have a better world. But the transition from here to there is the journey to be able to conquer the negative forces in which so many of us are trapped in, or I would say all of us are trapped in to some extent or another. The vision I'd like you to carry away is not the picture of the dark world, because it is that anyway, but the vision of a world in which there is love and truth, peace and justice. And if you, together with loving yourself every day, if you hold that vision in front of you every day, I know that together we can make that vision, with the power of the divine, we can make it happen.
I think we can squeeze in one more question. there's just one at the back there. Thank you.
Om Shanti, everyone. So, my question to you, I've got two here, if we have time for the other one, because I'm very keen on listening. So, my question is, sometimes people hate people because they are not the way they want them to be. This is seen in politics and even lives that we live. How do you accept people the way they are in Dharma Yoga? Thank you.
Seeing them as that shining light. If I see each one as that shining light, then I'm connected with them on a very deep spiritual level, and I can accept them.
Thank you so much. And I think we can go on for another hour. Time flies. I have one quick question. Okay. Do we have the microphone just down here? One very, just right at the front here. One very quick question. It's good because the audience, the rest of the audience can hear you, yeah. So just hold on a sec. Could you just raise your hand? Yeah, that's it.
Daddy, I've been trying to see the light. I mean, I've been thinking of how to see the light. But I can't see it, like from one person to the other, or even inside myself to see it up here. I can't see the light.
Maybe I'm using the wrong word, and the interpretation is that there should be something physical. But can I feel that energy that I am, and remind myself that I'm not this body, but it's this energy which is not visible to the eyes, but it's one that you can feel and experience. So before trying it for anyone else, just let yourself spend time thinking, I, the soul, the being of peace, am looking through these eyes. I, the soul, the being of peace, am speaking through this mouth. It's not this that's speaking. This is a microphone, but so is this. But it's the inner being, the soul that's speaking and seeing. So I need to change the whole paradigm. The materialistic paradigm of the physical has taken so deep hold of us that we can't shake it off. But this isn't me. I am this, and this is my body. It's not I. I am a soul, and this is mine. The property I hold as a trustee now. For how long, I don't know. But it's for me to hold in trust at the moment. But I am separate. Try that.
Thank you, Daddy. Thank you.
I know there'll be many, many questions, but I think we might have to draw a line under that for now, because we will have another final opportunity to experience some meditation now. Sometimes doing it can answer our questions, but I'll also share a bit more after the final meditation.
Sitting quietly, I reflect on the things I've been hearing, and I go inside. The world outside is where it belongs, out there. I want to discover the beauty of the inner world. I go inside, and I select the thought I would like to have. I create the thought of peace. I hold peace in my mind. And I turn my attention to the Divine, the Supreme, the Being of Peace. The Being of Truth. The Being of Love. And in the presence of the Divine, those same qualities emerge within me. And the rays of the light of love and the light of peace reach not only me, but they reach the entire human family. And souls who are seeking are able to feel that light of peace and light of love reach them. And the rays reach out to all the living species on this planet. And as the love and peace reaches them, they feel safe and secure. The qualities of the Divine touch the plant kingdom and all the elements of the universe. And the power of love and the power of peace restores harmony to the whole system, to the planet and all within it. And we move from the darkness of the world to a world of light. A world filled with truth, peace, and justice for all. I hold this vision of this world of light in front of me. And I know that we can make this happen very soon. Om Shanti. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And it's really touching, for me at least, to see that many people have questions. because I think it's the sign that we have a genuine interest in wanting to find out more about ourselves. And as Sister Janti referred to, the idea of the critical mass making a change and everyone else following, it feels as though everyone here is part of that critical mass, because you're here. And you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your interest, your own personal interest. So thank you so much for your input, but also a special thanks to Sister Janti for sharing. Before we close this evening, as is a tradition, we have a few gifts for you. So the first thing is the gift of opportunity. One of the things that we really focus on here is education, spiritual education. So we offer many programs and often in workshops, talks, meditations, retreats even across the country. And so I'd like to flag up three events, if that's okay, as a follow-up to this one, if you're interested. So the first event is on the 15th of June, so in a couple of weeks, maybe even next weekend actually. And that is a taster of Raja Yoga meditation for those who have never experienced Raja Yoga meditation in Hindi. The following weekend, we'll have the same program, A Taster of Raja Yoga Meditation, but in English, on Saturday, the 21st of June. And on Sunday, the 22nd of June, we'll have another conversation in this space with three Raja Yogis. The first is Maureen Goodman, the second is Jemini Patel, and the third is Tamasin Ramsey, who would be with us from Australia. So three very dynamic individuals, and so you can hear more about the process of Raja Yoga and stories and more wisdom from the experiences of these three yogis. And these are actually events that we are dedicating to the International Yoga Day, which is on the 21st of June every year. It was something that has been happening for the last, I think, 10 years. Prime Minister of India had encouraged the UN to dedicate a day to yoga. And so as we are Raja Yoga, we fit under that bill. So you are more than welcome to come to those, all of those events, or just one of those events, or however many you choose. There are flyers at the back of the room. The flyer for the 21st and 22nd is actually on one piece. So you'll be able to take one piece with you with both events on them. So you'll find that at the back of the room, but also downstairs in the reception. And yes, we have many more activities also on our website, so that's not all we offer. We have many, many things going on, regular things, things for young people, things for just women, things for just men, things in various different languages, English, Spanish, Portuguese, Hindi, Tamil, Kannada, so many different languages. So hopefully everyone has something that they can choose that floats their boat. And then also the bookshop downstairs will be open, and I've taken the liberty to pick out a couple of books to suggest, if that's okay, that I think you might find very interesting. So the first, both are by Sister Janti. The first is called Practical Meditation. It's a fantastic book for you to read and get some more insights, more clarity on the process of meditation, but also God's Healing Power. So in the time that we had, Sister Janti was exploring this idea of connection with the divine, but this is a whole book about that. So two really wonderful companion books to a meditation practice. I haven't actually read God's Healing Power myself, but I have read Practical Meditation many times and gifted it very much to friends and colleagues, and it's got some fantastic meditations in there, but it's definitely worth a read. So those are in the bookshop downstairs, along with many other things. So Sister Janti will be traveling. This is one of the stops on the UK tour that Sister Janti is doing of the magic of meditation. She's been to Worthing, Cambridge, Leicester, today, London, and then next weekend she'll be traveling to Birmingham, Manchester, and to Glasgow. So if you have any friends or family who live in that part of the country and you would like to attend one of these events, then you can send them to the Brahma Kumaris UK website, which is brahmakumaris.uk, and they can find out more information about the events next weekend. And finally, thank you for bearing with me, as is tradition, before we leave any of our events, we share something we call Toli, which is a little sweet, handmade with love. And so Sister Jyanti will be sharing one of these with us individually. And so what I'll ask, and along with that, you'll get a little card that has a positive affirmation, or what we like to call a blessing. And if you've been here many times before, then maybe you've received many of these blessings. And the other day, I found myself counting my blessings, because I've received so many over the years. But it's a really powerful and beautiful thing that is personal to each one of us. So maybe you can take it as something to achieve, or maybe you can take it as something that you already are. But I'm sure that it will be completely apt for something going on in your life right now. So alongside that will be the little sweet. I'll just check dietary requirements, actually, if that's okay. Okay, so everything that you'll receive is dairy-free and vegan. Yeah, okay, so there's a little label on the little sweet itself that has got all the ingredients, just in case anyone's allergic to anything. So we have taken that into consideration. So thank you, Sister Jyanti.